And now I'm going to introduce our second speaker. This is someone, one of my predecessors, who was here, which when I got here, we should go to 4 or 5 meetings a day together. With that, help me welcome Crawford from Philly.
I'm Crawford, recovering addict. I'm clean by the grace of God and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I need to meet this, right? Any member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living in the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there's not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there's a possibility that a group's inexperience in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker help fulfills the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Once again, I'm Crawford, recovered addict. And I am clean by the grace of God and the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And I was sitting there, and I was listening to my sister, and I was saying, go ahead. I think it is very important in the 12-step process to develop the level of courage that's necessary to address an issue, not acknowledge you have an issue. That's good, but there's no relief. The relief is in freedom. Matter of fact, that's the goal. Any addict can stop using, lose the desire, and find a new way of life. Become a productive member of society. Become free of the issues that bogged us down. That's the goal. And I often share that staying clean must come first. In the message, that must be heard. Under any and all circumstances, don't use. And then physically, when we don't use, we start to address the justification, the rationalization of our behavior. We might even mature enough to stop substituting. Now we can look at dealing with our old ways. And I say that because before there's a sixth step, there's a first step. And I say that because, and I know it's a 6 and 7 step meeting, it takes development to get to a position to really be tired. We often say pain is a motivator. But you can get used to pain too before you get motivated. That's my experience. And I'm here to share my experience driven hope. Long before I get to a point where I'm tired, I justify why I do what I do. I rationalize why I do what I do. I substitute why I do what I do. I get angry at you because I do what I do. Part of the reason why I do what I do is because I really don't know any better. And even if you tell me I don't know any better, I need the time, the years of practice to get away from old behaviors. I know we don't always hear that. We come there, you know, I used to be in a relationship. I'm not in one now, so therefore I'm working the program. No. I pick the people I pick because those are people I know how to pick. I also know it ain't going to work. Because it never worked. But I like it. I think. My distortion is a part of my addiction. I use drugs. I don't know why. How did y'all get here? I use mind and mood altering chemicals. I had a fear of reality. So my perception when I put the drug down is still crazy. Let me tell you something. I often share I became socially retarded. I had lost the ability to express my humanism. That's why I could identify so greatly with anger, so greatly with fear, so greatly in that part of us that is self-destructive. Because that was my thought process. I never forgot, my sponsor said to me real early in my recovery, it is normal for an addict in active addiction to try and kill themselves. I was under the belief that I was getting high. I was under the belief when I stopped using drugs, I was okay. We are sick people. And through the years and the working of this 12-step process, I'm scratching my level of sickness. I understand fear is paralyzing. I understand why some things that I really wanted to do that was right, I couldn't. Fear is paralyzing. It's also very embarrassing. So when you take the 12 steps and you have to talk about those issues, you got to relive them. And it is embarrassing. It's painful. It's all connected too. You ever been rejected? Remind you of the first time you was rejected. You acting crazy of a girl you've been going out with for 2 weeks. You share about her for 2 years. You don't even know her last name. But 25 years ago, someone that you really thought you loved and you're really starting to learn about love affected you. That's what I learned over the years. My sponsor used to tell me, Crawford, don't try to make the 12 steps do the same thing the drug did. 12 steps are not there to make you feel good. They're tools that allow you to live life. So let me share some of my experience. Before I became tired, I stopped using drugs, I came to Narcotics Anonymous, and I recognized that y'all had something I didn't. I had this great need to talk. When I got here, my sponsor said, listen to me. You crazy, and you need to talk to me. So you can talk some of that craziness out your head. Because I thought it was impressive to tell you about the streets of North Philly and like how, you know, I made it through and, you know, and my sponsor. You see. They ain't got nothing to do with what we're doing here. You need to listen. Your most valuable thing when you first get here is listening. I was under the impression if I talk, I could help y'all recover. And since I really wasn't like many of y'all, y'all could really benefit from knowing me. I remember the first NA meeting I came in. I worked at the post office at the time. I had a suit on, a pair of alligator shoes. I had my check in my pocket. And I know I ain't started growing the dreads yet. But I came into the Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I remember one of my predecessors said to me, he said, how you doing? You new? Yeah, I'm new. My name is Crawford. He told me his name. He said, well, a monkey in a silk suit is still a monkey. Hey. But as I sat down, I recognized something. This is written in the basic text. It's amazing that some of my experiences is directly related to the basic text. It says, I might be off a word or two, but it says, the first thing we do is we stop using. And many of us have sought a workable solution, was unable to find a workable solution until we found each other. The most powerful thing that happened to me in my early recovery was sitting in a meeting with other addicts who were not using drugs. It became possible. I had not met anybody in North Philly that was from my neighborhood that wasn't using drugs. If they went away for 5 years and came back, they was in the penitentiary. And if you didn't see them, you assumed they were dead. That was the North Philly I grew up in. But when I got to Narcotics Anonymous, there was many people from my neighborhood there. And I had an instant connection. And I'm going to tell you what it was. You ever look in a magazine at a woman that's overweight, and they'll show two pictures. They'll show her weighing 693 pounds. And then they'll show her wearing 127. It was before and after. And I could identify by just seeing these people because I remember how they used to be. One guy was a guy who I used to say, if I ever got as bad as him, I would stop. And he was clean when I got him. Narcotics Anonymous. Long before I really understood, long before I dove deeply into the literature, I was able to see evidence. It's nice to believe that you come in and you jump in with your God concept, and therefore you're going to change all these defects of character and things are going to work. But the reality is, for guys like me, I had to see it. My God relationship was distorted because I was. Had nothing to do whether God cared or whether God was always there or whether God, I was distorted. So therefore my relationship is distorted. My relationship with people was distorted. And we got into the step process. We talked about this level of honesty that I needed to not only stop using drugs, but to gain an acceptance of a disease. I need to be honest. I messed my life up. I made bad choices. I had an inability to deal with life as it presented itself and demanded, so I sought drugs. Now I don't use drugs, and I have to endure the pain of life without skills. So I had a sponsor who talked very diligently with me about the necessary level of honesty to get to the next step. Not write it out. And I'll read it, but the necessary level of honesty, of acceptance, of understanding faith is necessary because there's a point in the second step. And the point is you open your mind to believe. That's the point. And believing something and having faith does not necessarily mean you know it. It's almost blind. So I have to believe will work for y'all, will work for me. I have to believe that what you're saying in regards to this message, it can be real in my life. And I have to understand at that point, because you are one sharing in an Narcotics Anonymous meeting and you are doing everything other than what you share, you're still carrying the message. Because sometimes you carry it verbally before you actually physically do it. You talk yourself into doing it. But as a person that's listening, I need to understand that the standard is there and I need to be reaching for the standard. Now, I don't want to sound complicated because I am, but I don't want to sound complicated because the program is simple. I came here, I got a sponsor. I looked around, people wasn't using. Now, every time I went to a meeting, I went home. When I went home, I went to sleep. I didn't take midnight walks. I got up, I went to work, I went to a meeting. Simple. Wasn't a whole lot of listening to Crawford. I learned a long time ago, don't fuck with him. See, my sponsor told me, he said, Crawford, I'm going to give you something profound. Don't miss this. And I thought he was going to say something like, the secret to walking on water is knowing where the rocks at. And I said, He said, Crawford, stop hanging out with the motherfucker who tried to kill you. Stop hanging out with that guy. He like self-destructive. Yeah, he ain't a good guy. That thought process is a killer. So I started to digest the information. Not just hear it in the meeting, try to apply it to the best of my ability in my life. Because I'm asking a third step to make a decision. And it implies action. To turn my will and life over to the care of God as I've come to understand Him, as well as experience Him. Part of my God experience was you. Part of my God experience was hope, hearing other people's experience. It's part of my God experience. You know, I realized by this time that one of my goals in NA as well as life was to grow up and be a man. I no longer want to be cool, hip. I didn't want to talk slick anymore. I didn't want to be shiny and seen all the time. Recovery started to kick in. That sick need that I had developed for attention started to subside. Now, in my third step experience, I'm going to share this because I really want to just say a couple things about the sixth and seventh step. I learned in my third step experience, it's not particularly what I like, what I should do. It's what my relationship with God that I have come to believe that is moral is what I should do. Even if I like something and it's been okay with me, if it's not in my understanding of God, I don't need to do it. And I developed the principle. The person I loved the most my entire life, she's dead, was my grandmother. Love my grandmother and grandfather. Today, I try not to do anything other than go to the bathroom that my grandmother wouldn't approve. I'm not an addict who grew up on the streets, and it's nothing wrong if that's your story. I'm not an addict who didn't come from a mother and father principle where people had goals and expectations and provided resources. I'm not an addict who grew up like that. I grew up without my mother and father. They was of distance in which I had to travel to see them. My mother did have alcoholic issues from the time I was born to the time she died. My father was a womanizer, and he also had alcoholic issues, and I loved the ground he walked on. But the fact of the matter is I grew up with my grandparents, who was very loving and caring, committed. I grew up with people who met at 13 and stayed together till they died. I understand commitment. I understand what you're supposed to do in a relationship. I grew up there. But the streets were attractive. And I learned, my grandmother used to say, don't get off the steps, boy. I learned what happened to you when you get off the steps. But the reason I'm saying this is because my four step was filled with a lot of things and a substitution. My grandmother was a wonderful person, but she was a sub. And a sub is not the real thing. And so I kind of shifted that toward my mom, and it came out other areas of my life, and rejection was a big thing with me. No woman in my life ever really had a fair chance, to be honest with you. I got compartments, and I put them in compartments, and none of them really reached the real compartment. And I knew that. That was found out in my fourth step. She did what I wanted her to do, and I got tired of it. She was gone. My four-step love for me is a very difficult thing. Intimacy has gotten better in my life, but it's always been a difficult thing because from the very beginning, it was off course. I even want a woman like my grandmother in 2006. Women ain't trying to hear that. But the fact of the matter is, all these things shaped and molded me to who I was. And by the time I got to a fifth step experience dealing with anger, resentment, fear, dealing with rejection, and dealing with a lot of the issues that I had to deal with and sharing that with my sponsor, we saw a definite pattern that went way back. And identifying a pattern is one thing, but breaking it is another. And one of the ways that the pattern started to break in my life is in my sixth step. And that's what I want to share now. The sixth step says that we become entirely ready to have God remove defects of character. Now, first of all, I want to point this out. The issue is not whether God can remove the defect of character. That ain't the issue. The issue is when God removes the defects of character, if you have nothing to put in his place, you're going back to the defect of character. We was told a long time ago about voids in the second step. Okay? So I have developed a pattern of doing things a certain way. Even if I know I'm unsuccessful at it. And it may be a fear that I have not to try something different. So, the girls, some are taller, some are shorter. Some hair is longer, some hair is shorter. But it's the same girl. Because the results are the same. You want different results, you do something different. Don't cry, do something different. I've learned that. So, until I became tired, then I was openly willing not only to take in information, but to practice it. And that's all we do. We practice. There's a fracture in the personality that it talks about in the sixth step. If there's a fraction in the personality that they talk about in the sixth step, so the first five steps, I'm really dealing with a lot of things, but the fracture, the crack is deeper than I think it is. My sickness is really starting to be revealed. I'm not saying I'm not a good person. I'm not saying that I'm not a professional. I'm not saying that I don't have a couple degrees. I'm not saying that I make money. I'm not saying that I spend time with my children. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a fracture in a personality. I'm not talking about whether you think I'm okay. I'm not talking about whether everybody who come in contact with me, my profession, I'm in education, and people, children, rely on me. They rely on me. They don't know I'm an addict. But I'm talking about a fracture in the personality. That when the demands get that great, it shows. It does not show at some levels. Life on life terms is relatively simple until it gets to a certain level. Then when the pressure turns up, the crack shows. That's what I'm talking about. My relationship with God is there. It's developing always. But as long as things are going good. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you the insidiousness of the disease. I do well when things are doing bad. The death of my grandmother, the death of my grandfather, the death of my father, the death of my mother. I did well. Was able to rally, Dark Ox and I was rallied around the way to feel the pain, understand the transition of life. I'm the baby and then the grandparents, and eventually I'll be the grandparent and they'll be babies. I understand. Graduations, buying new things, I do well. But it's in the middle. It's in the middle. The very basic things is my difficulties. Because I real early developed crises ability. When things go very wrong, I can deal. When things go very right, I shine. But the living life on its own terms, skill, I never practiced. So it took me some years to get better at it. That seventh step emphasis on a lot of things, and it talks about a different level of willingness and humility. But I want to focus on humanity. Somewhere in addiction, I was robbed of being a human being. you look at me and you say, well, he's a human, or that's a human, or everybody's human. But the capacity to love, the capacity to be honest, the capacity to be, to have courage that human beings should have is where I missed out. That's why I had the struggles I've had with intimacy. That's why I had the struggles of sharing my feelings the way I really feel versus saying something that I know would be safe to say. Quite often in conversations, I would talk to people, but I would never talk about the controversial things. It would just be the safe things, which has nothing to do with how I felt. I've learned in this program of recovery that it is very essential to have a power greater than yourself that guides you. And the relationship that you have with this power greater than yourself is not you telling it what to do. I learned in this process that one of the greatest values of sponsorship is direction. Recovery needs to have a purpose. I don't need to sit around Narcotics Anonymous for 5 years and have kids and not take this to them. The choice they may be rejecting it, but I need to take this to them. I don't necessarily need to bring them here. I might, but I need to take this to them. And it need to be a part of my life as to give them an example. If my addiction touched every area of my life, so should my recovery. I got clean in December of 1987. I have not had a need to use drugs again. That has not been my struggle. My struggle has not been using drugs. I kind of caught the peace. A day at a time, you stay away from people, places, and things. I kind of caught the peace under any and all circumstances you don't do. I kind of caught that peace. But that developmental peace into a productive member of society, a man, a protected, a provider, an emotional support person is where I struggle. I am not a very emotional, supportive person. So if a woman that I'm involved with needs that, she got the wrong guy. I'm not saying she's wrong for needing that, nor am I wrong for not having that, but I sure like to develop it. Because I have found when I look back in my life, the things that are most important is my relationships with people, you know, my family, my relationships with people, the role I play in this society. That's the most important things to me. You know, I've been real fortunate in a lot of areas where a lot struggle. But I know I'm an addict. And I'm a firm believer that if anything that you are involved with that takes you out of the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, it's the wrong thing. If your perception of God says you don't need to come, you got the wrong guy. If your partner, male, female, or whatever you into says, well, we can stay home and you need to do this, it's the wrong thing. Because I learned as an addict, I have a disease that there is no known cure. And the English language doesn't even address addiction. It's not even developed enough. We say clean, it means something else. It means something else to us. So the fact of the matter is I need to be in an atmosphere that produces the message of recovery. That message has the ability to get past my defects and my head. The most valuable thing my sponsor ever did for me is help guide me through my head. That's where I always got stuck at. I always got stuck on an old idea, which forced me to act in an old way because I had no other message. So I don't know. When I share, I try to share the hope in this. If you knew, this program will work for you too. You don't have to necessarily understand it. What you have to do is don't use under any and all circumstances. Because once you do that, you stop the recovery process. I hear people say, you know, I had 3 years clean, and then I relapsed, right? And then I ain't forgot what I knew. And what the fuck are you talking about? You may not have forgot the words, but you damn sure forgot the commitment to the words. I don't want to be anything but your brother. I'm happy the fact that God spared me and you people have helped me over 18 years. I'm a grateful addict. And I recognize that in being a grateful addict, I need to try to be responsible enough to carry the Narcotics Anonymous message. Not say anything I want. I hear that all the time. You can say what you want. Why? Why the fuck do you want to say what you want? I need to try to be as responsible as I can. New people watch us like hawks. We're not perfect, and they need to see our imperfections. But they need to understand that we have that commitment to get better. We made a decision to stop using, but we also made a decision to get better. And that's our 12-step process. Humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. That's prayer. And it's also taking in the prayer and making an attempt to do something else. So I'm a grateful addict. And it is a pleasure always to be affiliated with people. Because as our text say, many of us was unable to find a workable solution until we found each other. Thanks, and let me share.